Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich storehouse of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. That is Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6. Welcome to Orphans No More, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children in crisis through adoption, foster care, and family preservation. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining me today for episode 266. The Lord is our foundation. He is a rich storehouse of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. One thing I know for sure, I cannot navigate this adoption journey, or any journey really, without him. I need the Lord to sustain me, and I need his wisdom and knowledge to do this adoptive parenting thing. How about you? How are you doing? I always love to hear from our listeners, so I'm hoping you will send me an email, sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. And stay tuned to the end of this episode because I'm going to pray for you, my friend. I know how hard the journey is, and you've just been on my heart. I know a lot of our listeners are fellow foster and adoptive moms, especially, but parents. And I really want to be able to minister to you and not only share the things that I've experienced and learned, but I want to lift you up in prayer at the end as well. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to share some wisdom and knowledge that I've gleaned and pray for you at the end. I also want to tell you some exciting news. My book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father, will be released this summer. I don't have an exact release date yet, but if you stay tuned to this podcast and all of our social media, you will be in the know for when the exact date is. Right now, I'm assembling a book launch team, and I'd like to invite you to join it. I'm looking for about 20 to 30 people who are willing to read the free digital download of the entire book. And it's like only 255 pages. It's not War and Peace or anything, but you have to read the book. And then, because I want you to read it before it's released, and join me in a private Facebook group where we'll talk about the book. And then team members on the launch team need to read the book, join that group, and then write a review on Amazon for the day the book gets released on Amazon. And then also write a review and, like, you know, just a couple of sentences or whatever that you would send to me so we could use some of those quotes on our social media. And then be willing to share everything on your social media that we post about the book. So there's some commitment involved, but you're going to be among the first readers to read the book if you're willing to do that. If you're on social media all the time already, like a lot of us are, it's not going to really be hard for you to do it because you're already on there. But the first step is to read the book. And so if you're interested in being part of my book launch team, send me an email. Again, it's Sandra Flack, JFO@gmail.com. Let me know by April 15th if you are interested in being part of my book launch team. I hope you will. Now, next week, I have an amazing guest that I can't wait for you to meet. She's an adoptive mom. She has suffered incredible loss. Last year, she even had COVID, was on a ventilator. So her story is so inspirational and really testifies to how God can rebuild from the ruins. And I know you're going to love her story. But this week, I just wanted to share a little bit more with you. I have some more of the FASD facts. Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder facts are found on the FAFASD.org website. You can read and even download all 50 facts And you would go to FAFASD.org/50facts to be able to do that. And I talk a lot on this show about FASD because as a mom of 8 kids, 5 of them came to us through adoption, 2 are diagnosed with an FASD. I understand the difficult journey parenting kids with trauma histories. My 2 youngest are teenagers. Really fun time for any mom, but especially if you have a kid with a brain-based disability, it is a real struggle. So I have been diving deep into learning everything I can to help my kids, and I also want to help you. I know that many of you are foster and adoptive parents, so the topic of FASD is of vital importance to me and my family, but also to you and yours. So I've shared the FASD facts on several of the past episodes. We are now up to fact number 35 and 36 that we're going to cover today. So again, I'm going to go through these and then stay to the end if you would like me to pray you out, because I do want to pray for y'all. I'm not from down south. I'm from upstate New York, but it just sounded like y'all. You all. Use guys. How about that? Now, fact number 35. The myth that FASD is just a behavioral problem prevents people with an FASD from receiving proper care. FASD is a lifelong neurobehavioral and neurodevelopmental disability. Behavioral differences are symptoms of brain differences. As such, it should qualify a person for the same supports and services that other people with developmental disabilities get, such as supported housing, supported employment, supported living, and financial support. I stressed the word symptoms there because even I, you know, I'm not an expert on FASD. I'm not a professional, but I am a parent and I'm an expert on my kid, and I am trying to learn everything that I can about FASD. And I learn, I mean, I used to just say FAS because that's what their diagnosis is in the paperwork. But now we know that it's really a spectrum of disorders. And FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome, comes under that umbrella of FASD. And those behaviors all the time that we talk about aren't just behaviors, they are actually symptoms of a brain-based disorder. So we want to make sure that we are using the right terminology, and the more I learn, the better I'm getting at doing that. Now, like I said, my youngest 2 are teenagers. They are both diagnosed with an FASD. What about your kiddos? I would love to hear from you if you are parenting kids who've also been diagnosed. And if so, what services and supports have you been able to secure for them beyond the school IEPs and things like that? This is a new section of the road for me. My 17-year-old will be 18 this summer. And, you know, he's not really ready to navigate a full-time job, handle his own doctor's appointments, manage his money, you know, and those other important adulting decisions. He's not ready to do that on his own. I mean, he's going to be 18, yes, but I think I've shared this before, a lot of his early on, he didn't really exhibit so much of the behavioral type symptoms, but he had a lot of physical skeletal abnormalities and a lot of different things. And he attached to us very well. He's has this adorable personality, or at least it was adorable prior to becoming a teenager. But his behavior wasn't so much the problem. He had some quirky things, like now I know some of his stuff was like perseveration, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, we didn't really look into or think that we were going to need anything like SSI or any kind of supports beyond school. We have a family construction company, and my son does go there every afternoon to go to work for a while. But so he goes to school in the morning. He's in a special ed class. It's all inclusive. So they actually are meeting in person. He goes to school for a couple of hours. He's a senior. And then he leaves school and goes to work until 3:30 in the afternoon. And then he comes home and goes to bed. He takes a nap, and sleeps sometimes till dinner time and then wakes up and then eats, and then he doesn't want to go to bed right away at night because now he slept, but his body physically really isn't capable. He doesn't have the stamina, the strength to work a 40-hour construction job after graduation. Like right now, he's only working probably 4 hours, 5 hours out of the day, and he's whooped. He can't really do it. So, you know, maybe construction isn't going to be his thing. He's really good at things like welding and building, but maybe it's not his thing. So we have to figure that out. But that makes us realize that, you know, maybe we need to be looking at more supports into his adult life that he's going to need, including when my husband and I maybe wouldn't be here anymore. We just want to set those things up, and we want to make sure that we have that. So I've just begun the process of applying for services from OPWDD here in New York State. That is the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. And we're looking into SSI, the Social Security Income, Supplemental Income thing. I know we're going to need to go this route for our 15-year-old, but we had a reality check with our 17-year-old lately, and we know we're going to need to do this, and we want to do it before he turns 18. So I get overwhelmed when there are mountains of paperwork. Like, it was one thing to do all those mountains of paperwork in order to adopt internationally, right? But it was like going through labor. You knew you were going to have a child at the end. And now it's like paperwork and phone calls and all these different things. I have a hard time with that. Administrative stuff is not my gifting. But I just learned through Adoption Navigation Services, which is where my 15-year-old gets counseling, that they will actually guide me through that process. And I feel like if I have somebody to hold my hand through all that paperwork process, so I don't actually have to waste the time and the brain power to figure it all out, if they just tell me, okay, now do this, and I do it, and then do that, and I do it, I feel like, okay, I can get somewhere that way. So I've jumped in. So we're just beginning that process, which actually starts with an evaluation, a comprehensive evaluation. And so now I'm trying to make those appointments and whatnot. But we're headed on that journey. If you're on that journey, if you have experience in that, hey, I would love to hear from you, because I'm just navigating that road, probably something we should have been doing much earlier on. But here we are. So I also want to point out that Fact 35 states that behavioral differences are symptoms of brain differences. It's imperative that we as parents know that we gain the knowledge and understand about FASD or whatever disability our child might have, right? If your kid has autism, you want to become an expert in autism. If your kid has diabetes, you want to become an expert in that. If your kid has an FASD, you need to become an expert in that, right? That's how we can advocate for them best, right? Individuals with an FASD specifically, they will not outgrow the behavioral symptoms. They're not going to just turn 18 or 21 and then they're all going to behave just fine because now they're adults, adults in quotes, right? They will always need accommodations and supports. And we as parents must be advocating and sometimes even fighting for our kids to get those supports. So I'm thinking I'd love to have a guest from Adoption Navigation on this show so we can kind of unpack this topic in the near future of what supports are out there long-term for our kids. So I'm working on that, but I would love to hear from you because, like I said, this is a new part of the road for me. Okay, that brings us to FASD fact number 36. Everyone involved with the person with FASD needs to be FASD informed. Everyone. This means parents, family, caregivers, support workers, doctors, therapists, teachers, school administrators, employers, social service providers, police, judges, and anyone else who touches the person's life. Now, I've been tooting this horn for a while now because in the past year, I've immersed myself, like I said, in FASD education to gain that knowledge. And I've been asking the Lord for wisdom. We need to know how to parent our kids with these unique disabilities, right? FASD is not mandatory training in foster parent classes, at least not in New York. If you lived in Minnesota, you're good. But if you live in New York State, it is not mandatory part of the training. And as a family that adopted internationally, we had zero training about that or trauma or anything else. I only knew what I learned doing my own research about attachment and whatnot, and just kind of a little bit of knowledge, not even knowledge, like I just read like a little paragraph about FAS prior to adopting internationally. I have shared the numbers on this show a lot lately. One in 20 U.S. children has an FASD. So one in 20 kids, we all know somebody with an FASD, whether we realize it or not, and they don't have to be in the foster care system or have been adopted internationally to have an FASD. 80% of the children with an FASD are in the foster care system. So if you are a foster parent or you're training to be a foster parent, you need to understand FASD, because you're not necessarily going to get the training about it or for it, but you are most likely, almost a guarantee, going to have children placed in your home who have an FASD, diagnosed or not, and you need to know about it. You need to understand it so you can better advocate for that child. But in addition to foster care, 50% of pregnancies in the United States are unplanned. So that means there are a lot more individuals with an FASD than we may realize. And a mom does not have to have been an alcoholic or a drug addict to give birth to a child with an FASD. She just has to have consumed alcohol at some point in her pregnancy. How much? How often? At what stage in the pregnancy? All those things determine, you know, the outcome here. But if mom drank, the baby drank. And it's going to impact the baby's brain and other parts of the baby's body. And alcohol is the most toxic substance for a developing fetus. Now, my adult daughter, who was adopted, we got custody of her when she was 8 years old. And I have shared a little bit about this story on this show before, but we got custody of her because her mom had passed away from cancer. She was not an alcoholic or a drug addict. She had a professional job. She was a single mom. She didn't know she could get pregnant. She had a health issue. She was actually told by her doctor she could not conceive. So we're not 100% sure, but she was probably 8 to 12 weeks along in her pregnancy before she even realized she was pregnant. And I do know that she loved to go out socially every weekend with her girlfriends. So it you know, if I put the pieces together, I'm pretty confident that I could say probably every weekend for the first several weeks of her pregnancy, she drank socially. Did she drink to get drunk? I don't think so. Did she get drunk at any point? I don't know. But I do know now that our daughter's behavior, those were symptoms all those years. We didn't know about trauma, but we also didn't know, and I would have never applied FASD to her ever, except the more we've learned about FASD, and we could line up all of her, what we called then behaviors, but now we know our symptoms, she checks a lot of the boxes. So, you know, there's no diagnoses there, but she and I have had this conversation and we're both pretty confident that could have been what has been going on for so many years with her. So it's just vital that we have the knowledge about it and that we understand it and that we learn how to parent accordingly. So this is why everyone must be educated, from parents to family members, right? I recently gave each of my adult kids a copy of Diane Melbin's book, Trying Differently Rather Than Harder. Google it or find it on Amazon. It's a small book. It kind of has a little bit of a price tag to it, but I ordered 6 of them because I wanted all of my adult children to have an understanding of FASD, because at some point they may be more involved with their younger brothers, as the years go on. You know, they need to be knowledgeable about FASD because they probably might need to be the support system for them in the future. One of my boys, like I said, works in the family business. And I know sometimes his older brothers struggle a little bit with his behavior at work. So they need to understand about FASD. So it's a small book. It's an easy read and it has lots of good information in there. And it's kind of like that, you know, beginner guide. And it's great for family members, you know, grandparents, babysitters, neighbors, employers, coworkers, school staff. Everyone needs to have some understanding of FASD so that they can understand our kids. Now, you know, we don't have to tell people our kids' personal story and all of those details, but they need to know what FASD is, what the symptoms are, and how to accommodate. You know, at the very least, I've been using terminology with my adult children like FASD is a brain-based disability, because I want them to get, you know, they love their siblings, but there's things about their siblings that drive them crazy, right? But they don't understand, because I've had some of my adult kids say, well, but, you know, but the 17-year-old, he can do this and this, why can't he do this? And it's like, well, that's how the brain works. That's what this is. So we need to educate, you know, as mom and dad, we have to be educated, but also our adult children, grandparents, anybody who comes in contact with our kids. So that's all for today, because I do want to take a minute to pray for you. And I will put a link to the FAFASD.org/50facts in the show notes for this episode. I'll include a link to Diane Malbin's book, Trying Differently Rather Than Harder. There's lots of great resources out there. And I know one book that I'm currently reading that is amazing, that I'll highly recommend, and hopefully I'll be talking about more in the future. And I'm hoping to have Dr. Ira Chasnoff as a guest on this show, but I've been reading the book Guided Growth. And there's a subtitle for it, which is kind of long, but it's all about FASD and how that impacts children, teenagers, adolescents, and adults who have an FASD. So the more I learn, just the more I just want to share that with you so that you can be equipped as well. I'll talk about it on the show, but I also want to let you know where to get these really excellent resources. So if you made it to the end of the show so far, or if you made it to this point, we're not quite at the very end, but maybe you're still listening because, like me, you are on the FASD journey too. So I would like to pray for you. And I want to start with reading another scripture, a few verses that I also just kind of came across this week that meant a lot to me, that spoke to me on this. So I'm going to read the verse and then I'm going to pray for you. So this is Colossians, I think it's chapter 1, I'm pretty sure, verses 9 through 11. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And friends, if you're parenting a child with a trauma history, we need great endurance and patience. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just am so grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to share on this podcast to the listeners that tune in. I'm just so grateful for everyone who who listens to this show, Lord, and my heart's desire is to bless them, to encourage them and inspire them and to help them be successful in their journey and by sharing our journey, by just sharing what I've learned, Lord. I just want to encourage and minister to those who take the time to listen, Lord, and especially those of us who are parenting the children that you set into our families, those children who've been harmed, who've experienced trauma, who've experienced whether that trauma came in the womb in the form of an FASD, trauma outside the womb with abandonment and rejection and abuse and neglect and whatever else our children may have endured before they came to us. We are grateful that you picked us to be their parents. And we know that you created each one uniquely in your image, and you saw fit to set them in our families for whatever reason, God. And I know, Lord, that your word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who strengthens us. And I know that those all things really apply to all the things that you called us to. So we can do this parenting journey, and we can do it successfully, and we can do it for your glory because you equip us for it. So, Lord, I just am grateful for every one of these listeners that said yes to your call to foster or to adopt. And I pray, Lord, that you will equip them in every way. Open their eyes to the symptoms that their children are experiencing and exhibiting, Lord. I pray that you would give them the wisdom and the discernment to know how to parent them and provide for them the resources that they need to parent them and to provide the supports that they need, Father. I pray that you would connect them with support services and doctors who can diagnose and counselors and therapists and others who can be that support system, help them with interacting with the school district and with other family members and with employers and just anyone their child or children comes in contact with, Lord. I pray for favor for our listeners, for their families, for their children, and that you would open doors to resources and supports, Lord, and that you would give parents wisdom, Lord, to know how to navigate this road, Lord, that you would direct their every step to every support, to every resource, to every parenting tool that they need to stay the course on this hard journey of parenting children with trauma histories, especially those with FASD, Lord. I pray that you would encourage them, Lord, that you would strengthen them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give each and every one of us the great endurance and patience that we need to parent successfully. Help us to be that loving, supportive, caring, invested adult in our kids' lives that will make all the difference in their future successes, Lord. Show us their superhero power, as my friend Natalie Vecchione calls it. Every one of our kids has a unique gifting and ability. Yes, they have these challenges. Yes, they have these symptoms, but they have talents and gifts and abilities that you put in there. Help us to mine for that gold. Help us to see what those talents are so that we can nurture them and so that we can help them bring those out and use those talents, Lord. Just give us wisdom, whether we're thinking about things like medication or counseling or whatever it is, God, homeschool curriculum, in school, out of school, whatever it is, Lord, you know all the different layers that we as parents have to deal with, Lord. And I pray that you would just give us favor, give us that endurance, give us that patience, Lord. Help us hold up our weary arms, Lord, and provide those supports that we need along the way so that our kids will be safe, we'll be healthy, we'll be successful, God. We just want to glorify you in and through this whole thing. And we want our kids, Lord, to know you, to love you, to serve you, Lord. And we pray that you would just open their eyes and their hearts, Lord, that you would do a work in their minds and their brains, Lord, and just
help them, Lord, to be successful and help us to help them. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Lord. And I just pray a blessing on all those who are listening, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, praise, and honor.
Okay, amen to that. I also just want to give you a quick reminder to check out the episodes I collaborated on with Kathleen Guire for her Positive Adoption podcast. If you ever want to sit down and have coffee with two veteran adoptive moms, you'll love these short 15-minute episodes. We had so much fun recording them. You can find them on your favorite podcast platform by searching Positive Adoption. And we collaborated on all of Kathleen's January, February, March 2021 episodes. So check them out. Lots of fun there. If you were inspired by today's show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. When you do, it boosts up the algorithm so more podcast listeners can find Orphans No More. And of course, please share it on your social media and with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so that they can be encouraged too. Check out my social media. You can find me on Facebook at Sandra Flack. I also have a new Facebook page, which is Sandra Flack Author, because my book will be coming out. And we are on Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And I'm also on Instagram as Sandra Flack _ JFO. And you'll be able to see the work of our organization, our nonprofit ministry, Justice for Orphans, by checking out those things. And what we did for Social Worker Appreciation Day is on there, and all kinds of stuff, and be updated about my book. Again, you can always contact me directly, and I hope you will consider being part of my book launch team. So email me at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening, especially if you made it all the way to the end of episode 266 of Orphans No More. I am thrilled to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard, and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.